we will be sharing some thoughts on, as Rabbi Kornfeld said, on the topic of Netilas Kli L'tzorech Dover She'ena Nitl B'Shabbos, which means to move an object or a vessel for the purposes of something that's mukta, something that you're not allowed to move. This topic finds itself, of course, you studied it last week in the Daf Hayomi, in Perikira, that's 43a, Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. What's happening here is there was a Mishnah, a Mem Beis Amud Beis, on the last page, which said as follows. It said, Ein noisten kli tachas aner l'kabel b'yis ha-shemen. One is not allowed to put a kli, a vessel, underneath a candlestick, l'kabel bo es ha-shemen, to receive the oil that may be dripping. And the Mishnah continues that if you put it there before Shabbos, it's okay. And the Amoraim argue in the Gemara as to what the reason behind the Mishnah is. Why is it that you're not allowed to place a receptacle underneath a candlestick in order to receive the oil that's dripping? So the first two opinions were, Rav Chisda explained, according to Rabba's take on Rav Chisda, the reason for that is because there's an Isser called Hatzola. We're not going to get into that. There's an Isser called Hatzola to save a person's property on Shabbos, and there's a difference between Hatzola Mitzuya, Hatzola She'ena Mitzuya. The second reason that was given was the famous rule of E Mevatlin Kli Mehechono, which means you cannot generate an Isser of Muktza on Shabbos for a kli, so that if you put the vessel underneath the candlestick, you're in essence making that vessel mukta, and that is usser. What we're going to be focusing on today is the third reason given in the Gemara, which can be found on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph towards the bottom of the page. It's about the second line before the lines get wider, and it says as follows: Amar Rav Yitzchak, Kishem she'ein nosen kli tachas. I forgot to mention, what the Gemara does here, instead of focusing directly on the din that's mentioned overtly in the Mishnah, the din of receiving oil that may be dripping, the Gemara switches it over to a similar concept, which is to receive an egg that's also mukta. So for all intents, but let's not get confused about that, but the mukta that's being dealt with in the Gemara's case is an egg which came out of a chicken on Shabbos, and therefore is mukta. You're not allowed to eat an egg, according to the opinion that holds of mukta. You're not allowed to eat an egg that was born on Shabbos, and Rav Yitzchak states that just like you're not allowed to place a vessel underneath the chicken to receive the egg, k'shem she'ein noisen kli tachas tanagos l'kabel beit sasa, kach ein koifen alei kli b'shvil sheloi tishover. You're also not allowed to place the kli on top of the egg in order that the egg shouldn't break, to protect the egg. Says the Gemara, Kasavar, Rav Yitzchak obviously holds, Ein kli nitl, ella ledavar hanitl b'shabbos. Why is it? Whereas the previous opinion held that you're allowed to place a vessel underneath, you're not allowed to place the vessel underneath the egg to receive it, because that would make the vessel mukta, but you are allowed to place it on top of the egg, because then the vessel does not become mukta. Says Rav Yitzchak, it makes no difference. You're not allowed to put it underneath or on top. And the reason is, he introduces a new rule. Kasavar ein kli nitl ella ledavar nitl b'shabbos. A kli, a vessel, may not be moved ella, unless you're moving it ledavar hanitl b'shabbos, for something that is movable on Shabbos, that's permissible to move on Shabbos. The Gemara then asks some questions on Rabbi Yitzchak. So we have Rabbi Yitzchak's din. Rabbi Yitzchak is a very interesting din, and we're going to discuss that din at great length today. And that din is that a vessel may not be moved for the purposes of a dover she'ena nitl b'Shabbos. So for the purpose of, if you have an egg, you're not allowed to, we don't paskin this din, by the way, it's not l'halacha, but Rav Yitzchak's opinion is you're not allowed to place the vessel underneath or on top, because either which way you are moving the kli for the purposes of an egg, which is muksa, because it was born on Yom Tov. The Gemara then goes and asks a series of questions. Meifik kohani to yufta, the Gemara asked a series of questions which had been asked on the previous Madi Amar, Vishani Bitsarach Lim Kaimai. The Gemara says, well, how is it, for example, that you're not allowed to, it says that you're allowed to place a vessel underneath a leak. If there's a leak from your ceiling, we learned before, Noisten Kli Tachas Sadelef B'Shabbos. You're allowed to place a Kli to catch a leaking, a leak, water that's leaking out of a ceiling on Shabbos. And the Gemara asks, why would you be allowed to do that? Generally speaking, water that's leaking out of the ceiling is muktzah because it's not ro'oi, it's not drinkable, and therefore, why would you be allowed to place the vessel underneath that delef? So, and there are a number of other questions that the Gemara is asking when it says meis v'kohani tiyufta, namely those questions that were asked on the last Mandi Yomar, which are, you're not allowed to. It says chavi shel tevel shenishbara. There's a din that you're allowed to place a vessel underneath a barrel of tevel, which is muktzah that broke. And there are other instances in which we find that a person is allowed to move a vessel for the sake of something that is muktzah. So the Gemara's answer to all these questions is so meis v'kohani tiyufta. The Gemara doesn't bother to repeat all those questions because it just got through asking all of them. And the Gemara answers, Vishani Bitsarach Lim Kaimai. The answer to these questions is that we could be talking about a case in all of those Braises and Mishnayas that were quoted before. We could be talking about a case where the person had a specific need for the place that the Kli, that the vessel was occupying prior to his moving it. Meaning, suppose I have a table and I need to, and there's a Kli on top of that table, and I want to use the table, and I move the vessel away from the table because I need the space that the Kli is occupying, then, says the Gemara, it would be permissible to go and place this vessel underneath wherever you want. You could place it even on top of something that's muktzah, even underneath to catch something that's muktzah, and that's what Rashi says. Bitzarach l'mkaymai l'hishtamish b'makam ha'kli, u'mitoich sheyocha litloy l'tzarach b'kaymai melicha l'makam sheyirta. Since you have to move it anyway for the purposes of making the place underneath the kli available, you therefore are allowed to put it wherever you want. We're going to come back to that and explain why that's true. The Gemara then goes and asks a series of questions, other questions which hadn't been mentioned before, and we're going to skip to the question that starts Tashma Parsin, which is about the six lines from the bottom. It says Tashma Parsin Machzolis Al Gabei. I'm sorry, let's skip to the three lines later. The third line from the bottom says Tashma Parsin Machzelis Al Gabei Kaveris Dvarim B'Shabbes. Next, the Gemara asks a question that we find a braisa that states that it's permissible to spread a machzelis is like a sort of mat, and you're allowed to take that machzelis, that mat, and spread it on top of a Kaveris Dvarim B'Shabbes. A Kaveris Dvarim is a beehive, and you want to protect that beehive. Supposedly, it says bechamam if neachamam. You're allowed to spread it in the sun to protect the beehive or the honey from the sun. Ubigshamim if neachshamim, and when it's raining, you're allowed to spread it on top to protect it from the rain. Ubelvad shleiskaven lotzit. As long as you have no intention of trapping the bees that are inside, because that would enter into a problem of tzeda, which is a malacha on Shabbos. You're not allowed to trap any live creature. So the Gemara is actually asking that why would it be permissible? If you're not allowed to move vessels, you're not allowed to move items for the sake of things that are muktzah, we know that this kaveres is muktzah on Shabbos, and how would you be allowed to spread the machzelis on top of it in order to protect it? So the Gemara answers, hocha b'mayaskinon d'ika dvash. Well, actually, you're allowed to spread it on top of the kaveres because there is honey inside the kaveres. So although a beehive may be muktzah on Shabbos, but the honey that's inside the beehive is not muktzah, because the honey is something, it's food, it's something that you can eat, and therefore can't be muktzah. Amar le'rav ukva mimeshen le'rav ashi, Tenech b'moisachama. Listen, I understand in the summer the ikedvash, but b'moisach shamim lekedvash in the winter time, when in the rainy season, when there is no honey there, my ikelamemer. How are you going to answer the fact that the brisa permits spreading a machzelos on top of the kaveris? Then there's no honey to protect, and therefore obviously you're doing it to protect your kaveris that it shouldn't get wet and soggy, and that would be usher if you hold that ain kli nitel el l'tzerch davar hanitel b'shabbos. So the Gemara says lo nitzricha el l'oisin shtei chalas. Well, there is an instance in which although there is no honey, there's no supply of honey during the Maisak Shomim, but there always is leftover. Person always leaves over what's called the two chalas. Rashi explains shtei chalas kol hakaveris oisin oisa advarim chalos chalas shel tzapichis. There was beeswax, and the way they made their honey was sort of in the shape of these loaves. And uksheroiden oisan manichen ba shtayim, you would leave over the customary way to take dvash out was to leave over a little bit of dvash at the end so that the bees have what to be misparnes from. The bees have what to eat during the course of the winter. Therefore, the Gemara says that although in the Maisak Shom there is no honey, but Oisin Shtei Chalas, you still have some honey, and therefore you could spread the Machzelas in order to protect that honey. Asks the Gemara of Hamuktzas Ninhu. Well, still, that honey is Muktzah, because you set it aside for bees, and since you set it aside for bees, it's still Muktzah. The Gemara answers the Chashiv Alayhu. The Chashiv Alayhu means that the person had a machshava about it, he thought about that honey before Shabbos, and therefore that would render it not muktzah. Says the Gemara, well, haloi chashav alayhu, my usher, if you didn't think about it, then you're telling me that it would be usher, because that honey is still muktzah. Asks the Gemara, iachi, if that's the case, hadetani ubavach shalei yiskaven lotzer, the end of the braisa says, that as long as you didn't have intentions to trap the bees, then it would be permissible to spread the machzelas. Asks the Gemara, liflig velisni bedida. Why couldn't the Gemara? This is a very standard method of the Gemara. The Gemara asking questions on brises. Brises should be uniform, and therefore, instead of giving me a side iser like tzeda to be mechalik within the brisa, the Gemara should have used the case itself to be mechalik. In other words, the Gemara should have said, when is it that we say that it's permissible to spread the machzelas? That's only when you had this machshava, when you thought about the chalas dvash, meaning you had intentions to use it starting from before Shabbos. That's what the Braisa should have said. The Gemara answers, the Braisa is coming to tell me exactly that side chiddush, and seems to be necessary for the Tana to tell that to me. Even if you did have the machshava before Shabbos, you have to make sure that you don't have any kavana, you're not miskaven, you don't have any intention to trap the bees. Now the Gemara asks a question. Money. Who can be the author of this braisa? Reb Shimon. If the author of the braisa is Reb Shimon, well, Reb Shimon, lesle muktzah. Reb Shimon doesn't hold of muktzah. Rashi explains, what does the Gemara mean, Reb Shimon? Says, look at the Rashi Umani. Rashi is Umani. Umani, he, who is the author, shehitzrachta letrutza kishachishiv? Who was the Tana of the Braisa that caused you to need to answer that we're talking about where you thought about this dvash before Shabbos? Vikatani, the Darvish Emeskavin Mutter Kribshim. Irib Shimon, Omar, if Rib Shimon was the author of the Braisa, Lomali Lukma Bishachishiv. If Reb Shimon was the author of this braisa, then it would be unnecessary to tell me that he thought about the chalas dvash before Shabbos. The Gemara goes on to say, well, okay, so if Reb Shimon doesn't hold of muktzah, so it can't be Reb Shimon, Reb Yehuda, then it wouldn't help you, kilo miskaven my havi, hodav she miskaven usher. A complicated Gemara. What we would like to focus on is Reb Kiveger's kasha on this Rashi. Rashi says that the Gemara's raya, let's get this clear. The Gemara's raya, the Gemara is proof that we obviously feel that the braisa was authored by Reb Shimon, was from the fact that we needed to say that the person thought about these chalas dvash, he thought about this honey before Shabbos. Were he not to have thought about the honey before Shabbos in order to use it, then it would be usher. That means that's the Gemara's proof. I'm sorry, not that the proof that the Braisa is Reb Shimon, the proof that the Braisa is not Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon, if it's Reb Shimon, lesley mukta, and therefore why would we have had to say that the person thought about it before Shabbos? Reb Akiva Eger in the Gilyon Hashas, it's on your sheet, Gilyon Hashas on the Rashi. Now there is a difficulty with the Lushan that was printed here. If you read the Gilyon Hashas, that should be apparent. Kideger brings to our attention the fact that Rashi behaves differently in our Masechta than he does in Masechta Beitza. In Beitza, we have a very similar sugya, where the Gemara goes through the same Shakalataria dealing with spreading a machzelis on top of a kaveres dvorim, dealing with spreading a mat on top of a beehive. And the Gemara also goes through the same Shakvatara, these steps, that, well, we're talking about where there was a kaveres dvorim, how could you spread a machzelis, you're not allowed to move something in order to protect something that is mukta. The next step in the Gemara was, well, we're talking about where there's dvash. Then the Gemara goes and answers, if in the Gemara Sak Shamim there is no dvash, and the Gemara answers that we have those two chalos of dvash. Now, Rashi in Beya says that when the Gemara tells us that the Braisa obviously is going according to Reb Shimon, Rashi says that the Gemara is focused on a much earlier point in the Gemara. With the Gemara's raya, the proof that the Braisa cannot be going according to the opinion of Reb Shimon, Rashi over there says, and I quote, Rashi says, "B'mayu kimta k'Reb Yehuda k'loimer midahava loch l'trutzi areisha hamani Reb Shimon de lesle mukta." Immediately, when we ask the question, "How is it that you can spread a machzelis on top of a kaveres dvorim?" How did that Braisa permit spreading a machzelis on top of a beehive? What the Gemara should have immediately answered was, well, maybe the Braisa is going according to the opinion of Reb Shimon, and Reb Shimon doesn't hold of mukta. That's what Rashi explains in the Gemara in Beya. Rashi in our Gemara says that, well, that even according to Reb Shimon, we needed to say that there was honey in the beehive, and even Reb Shimon would agree that it's usher to spread a mat on top of a beehive which is mukta. But the raya that we're going according to Reb Shimon is at a later point in the Gemara. Because after the Gemara says that we have those two chalas dvash, the Gemara asks, v'hamuktas ninhu, those chalas are muktas, and the Gemara has to answer that you thought about them before Shabbos. That is the raya that this Braisa is not going according to Reb Shimon, because Reb Shimon would not require thinking about the chalas dvash before Shabbos. Reb Kiva Eger says that there's a stira, there's a contradiction in Rashi's words. Why is it that in Beya, in Masechta Beya, what Rashi does is he tells us that the very fact that we need to explain that there was honey inside the kaveris, inside the beehive, that is our raya, that the Braisa is not according to Reb Shimon. And Rashi over here says that, well, we need to give that answer, but lamali lu'ukma k'shechishe. And to bring things a little bit more down to earth, to make this a little simpler, what Reb Kiva Eger is asking is that Rashi in Beya clearly holds that Reb Shimon would not agree to this rule of Reb Yitzchak. Meaning Reb Yitzchak, who was mechadish to us, he introduced us to a rule that ein kli nitl, ela letzarech davar hanitl b'shabbos. That rule of Reb Yitzchak was said only according to the opinion of Reb Yehuda, and therefore Reb Shimon would not require that there would be honey in the beehive at all. According to Reb Shimon, it would be totally permissible to move a kli, a vessel, for the sake of something that's mukta on Shabbos. That seems to be the opinion of Rashi over there in Masechta Beya. However, Rashi in Shabbos clearly learns that Reb Shimon also can agree to Reb Yitzchak's din. It's just that in order for the honey inside the beehive to be mukta, to be not mukta, Reb Shimon would not require thought before Shabbos. anything that you could use on Shabbos is not muktzah according to Reb Shimon. So now let's see the Gilyan HaShas inside. Reb Kiveger says, "Vizel l'shayne mashma demikom makam tzrichim l'shinuyid ika beis chalas." Okay, you have to. There's a problem with the way that they printed this, Reb Kiveger. What Reb Kiveger says, the spirele l'Rashi, take out the word shum and skip to the Reb Yitzchak, Hainu Afilu L'Reb Shimon. In other words, Rashi in our Masechta holds that Reb Yitzchak's rule of Ein Kli Nitel was set even according to Reb Shimon, the make of a muktzah. The Ulam Rashi Bebeya Kosev the Pirchas Hashas the L'Reb Shimon Leitzarach Klal L'Tareitz the Ika Beis Chalas. Reb Shimon wouldn't even have to answer that there were two Chalas. Mavur is clear the Spirle L'Rashi Sham that Rashi over there in Beya holds the Reb Shimon Leka Ladina de Reb Yitzchak. And the Rashi over there holds that Reb Shimon doesn't hold the Reb Yitzchak. Okay, so we're going to try to focus on Reb Kiveger's question and try to answer this question. Namely, why is it that Rashi in our Masechta learned that Reb Yitzchak's rule of Ein Kli Nitel was said even according to Reb Shimon, who does not hold of Muktzah, and Rashi in Beya seems to learn that Reb Yitzchak's din was said Dafka according to Reb Yehuda and not according to Reb Shimon. Now, in order to answer this question, we're going to try to give a little background on in general, the topic of Muktzah, and try to understand a little bit about the Machloikas Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon before we come back to explain the din of Reb Yitzchak itself. Understand that in Muktzah, there are many different categories of Muktzah. Of the categories of Muktzah, there are two categories that ought not to be confused with each other. Very often people confuse them with each other, and it creates all sorts of problems. There's a category of Muktzah in which Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon disagree with each other. And there is a category of Muktzah in which Reb Shimon actually agrees. Even though we know, you've learned already, Reb Shimon less lay Muktzah, we have to define the terms. There is a category of muktzah which they argue about, and that generally is found by things similar to the Gemara that you learned about the Mosa Hashem and Shebener v'Shebekara Memdalad Amid Aleph, things that were not available for use when Shabbos enters. Those are things which Rabbi Yehuda holds are called muktzah. What does muktzah mean? Muktzah means they are set aside. They're not available for use. A person did not have intention. Before Shabbos, his mind were not on those things. And Reb Shimon holds that that's not true. That it's mutter, it's permissible to use items even if they were not available for use as Shabbos came in. So that even if something was usser, it was a busis at the time of Bein HaShemashes, it was housing muktzah was inside it, and therefore you were not allowed to move it. Doesn't make a difference according to Reb Shimon as long as it goes off after Shabbos begins, or something that, such as an egg, that was something that was born on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yehuda holds such a thing would be muktzah because when Shabbos was ushered in, that egg was not in existence. Therefore, your mind was not on that thing. Rabbi Shimon holds, I don't care. It doesn't matter that your mind was not on that thing. Rashi and Beya seems to learn that the source for this din is the pasuk in Parshas Bishalach, where it talks about the man, and it says, Ve'echinu es asher yaviu, things have to be muchen, things have to be prepared before Shabbos. All of the food for Shabbos has to be prepared, and therefore, something that was not available for use before Shabbos becomes usher because of muktzah. There is one opinion that Rashi and Beya explains, that there's an opinion of Rabbah, who's also mentioned in Psachim, that because of this, Rabbah understands that muktzah is midaraisa. It's something that the Torah assers, and the reason why it's aser midaraisa is because of that pasuk. Things have to be prepared as Shabbos comes in. If they become available for use on Shabbos, they are canceled out. Their aser is forbidden to use them, and it's forbidden to even move them. Now, Reb Shimon disagrees with this principle. Reb Shimon less le muktzah. Rashi in Beya again. Lamed Amud Beis seems to say that the reason for that is because Reb Shimon holds Daite de Inish Akol Midi de Chazile. It's also the lashon of the Gemara Davav and Beya. Daiti de inish hakol midi dechazilei. A person has his mind on anything that is remotely possible for it to become useful to him on Shabbos, and therefore doesn't require that things be consciously in my mind as Shabbos comes in. Okay. That in a nutshell, there's a very complex sugya of muktzah, but understand that's, we'll call that category number one. Category number one of muktzah has to do with things being available for use on Shabbos. There is another category of muktzah, which is found in Perek Kol HaKelim, later the 17th Perek, and is the subject matter of most of that Perek, and also of mostly Perek Shin Ches in Shulchan Aruch. That category of Muktzah is called Gzeiras Kelim. Gzeiras Kelim was something that was a later invention, certainly according to Rabbah, who holds that the other category is learnt out from a pasuk in the Torah, and this was definitely introduced much later, because it was an invention of the Navi Nehemiah. Nehemiah ben Chachalia was the one who introduced this din, and the Gemara explains that he was frustrated with the fact that people were doing malachis on Shabbos, and they were not careful with the Isurei Shabbos. And as a result, he said that he decided that he is going to forbid the usage of literally all kalim on Shabbos. That's what happened originally. He said, we're going to aser the usage of all kalim except for three kalim that would be absolutely necessary for use on Shabbos, because a person wouldn't be able to eat without them. And as time went on and he saw that people were taking Isurei Shabbos more seriously, he started slowly permitting the use of various kalim. And the end, and that's the Gemara explains in Daf Kufchav Gimelam at Beis in Perikol HaKelim that he tiru v'chazer v'tiru v'chazer v'tiru. The end result was, according to most opinions, as follows: there's a kli that's called a kli shemalachtoi le'iser. That means that the primary function of this kli, such as a hammer, it is forbidden to move a hammer, but although it's forbidden to move a hammer on Shabbos, you're allowed to move the hammer if you want to do a tashmish shel heter, meaning if you want to do something which is permissible on Shabbos, such as crack nuts with the hammer. If you want to do something that is mutter on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do boina, you're not allowed to build with the hammer on Shabbos, but you are allowed to do a tashmish shel heter, a usage which is permissible, so therefore you're allowed to move the hammer for the sake of that particular usage. And that is called Litzorich Gufay. That means the Klisha Malachtai Le'iser is mutter to move Litzorich Gufay, and you're also allowed to move the hammer if you need to make available the place that the hammer occupies. If you want to make space on your table, and the hammer is occupying some space in your table, and you need that space, you're allowed to move the hammer as well. They also said that a Klisha Malachtai Le'heter, if you have a vessel which its primary function is not something that's forbidden on Shabbos, you're allowed to move that thing even if it's not Litzorich Gufay, not Litzorich Mekoyma, but rather, let's say your hat is getting stained because it's in the sun. Here in Israel, it happens a lot. Your hat is in the sun and it's going to get discolored. You could move it. That's called Mechama Litzel. You want to move it outside of the sun. You want, or anything that's done, even if you think you don't want something to get stolen. You move it outside, from the outside to indoors. That's called Mechama Litzel. You're allowed to move a Klisha Malachta Leheter even for that purpose. However, you're still not allowed to move, a lot of people don't know this halacha, you're not allowed to move a Klisha Malachta Leheter Shelo Litzorich Klal, for no purpose whatsoever. If you have no purpose, you're just playing around with the Kli, it's usher to move it. People don't know this din. The parameters of this din are not all that clear. That's probably why they don't know about it. But these are the general parameters of Gzeiras Kelim. One more time. Klisha Malachta Le'iser is usher to move if you just want to move it inside. If it's not Litzorich Gufay, Litzorich Mekoyma, you're allowed to move it if you want to use it for a Tashmish Shel Heter, such as a hammer to crack nuts with. You're allowed to move it Litzorich Mekoyma. You're allowed to move it for the sake of availing yourself that place that the hammer is occupying. a klisha malachto leheter, you're allowed to move, even if it's not letzarech gufa, not letzarech mekaymei, but just to protect the item, but you're not allowed to move it shelo letzarech klal. Okay? Now, in that category of mukta, category number two, Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon don't argue. Reb Shimon agrees that it's usher to move kalim, kalim shemalatim leheter, you're not allowed to move shelo letzarech klal, and a kli shemalatim leiser, you're only allowed to move letzarech gufay and letzarech mekaymei. Okay? So, again, we have two categories that we want to focus on, one of which Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda have a disagreement, whether there is mukta. Reb Shimon is the one who is more lenient when it comes to mukta, general mukta, what we call mukta, removal from your mind. And there is this category number two, which is Gzeirat Kalim, where Reb Shimon agrees. Now, even within category number one, as you've learned, there are things that Reb Shimon does agree to Reb Yehuda, because those things are out of your mind. An example would be Eitzim, Avonim, things that are like stones and sticks, where there's no use for them on Shabbos. There, Reb Shimon agrees that there's no heter, you're not allowed to move them at all. Okay? So let's not confuse these two categories, because when you deal with things in category number one, you will never be allowed to move them letzarech gufay, letzarech mekaymei. If there's a stone lying on your table and you didn't prepare it before Shabbos, you're not allowed to move it off of that table to clear the room on the table, because that is mukta machmes gufa. That's not part of gzeiras kalim. It's only within gzeiras kalim that there are these tana'im, these conditions, that they allowed us to move them for specific purposes. Okay, so there are the category number two is something where Shimon agrees to. Now, when we analyze our sugya, there seems to be some confusion as to how to understand what family does Reb Yitzchak's din belong to. Reb Yitzchak told us, "Ein kli nitel ela ledavar hanitel b'Shabbos," that a vessel may not be moved. Ela ledavar hanitel b'Shabbos. You're only allowed to move things for a davar hanitel b'Shabbos. Now, where does that din come from? Is Reb Yitzchak's din a branch of the Gzeiras Kalim, as the lashon of Reb Yitzchak, the way his wording seems to suggest? Ein kli nitel. A kli, a vessel, may not be moved. Ela ledavar hanitel b'Shabbos. We do not allow a person to move a vessel unless he's moving it for the sake of something that's permissible to move on Shabbos. Is Reb Yitzchak then coming to say that just like you're not allowed to move vessels, as we mentioned, you're not allowed to move your hat for no apparent reason. You're not allowed to take a chair and move it from one end of the room to the other if you're not going to use the chair and you don't need the place of the chair and you have absolutely no reason to move the chair and you don't want to protect the chair from getting dirty, you're not allowed to move it. Similarly, the simple understanding in Reb Yitzchak's din is also that a vessel, just like you're not allowed to move it for no apparent reason, you're also not allowed to move that vessel for the sake of saving or helping a davar she'ena nitel. You're not allowed to move it for the purpose of a davar she'ena nitel b'Shabbos that also makes its way into what we call gezeiras kalim. That's one way of understanding Reb Yitzchak's din. The other way to understand Reb Yitzchak's din is that the reason why you're not allowed to move this kli is not because kalim have to stay put unless they're being moved for a legitimate purpose, but rather you're not allowed to move the kli for the purposes of a davar she'ena nitel b'Shabbos, because the davar she'ena nitel b'Shabbos, just like if you have an egg that was born on Yom Tov, which is noilad, you're not allowed to move that. That thing is usher to eat on Shabbos. Just like that thing is mukta, you're not allowed to go around moving kalim for the sake of that thing. What would be the reason for that? The reason for that may be that just like the chachamim forbade moving things that are out of your mind, there's an iser tilter. You're not allowed to move them. Just like you're not allowed to move them, you're not allowed to be involved in helping them as well. A similar idea we find, I don't know if it's on your source sheet, oh yes it is, there's the Trumas Hadeshen, it's number 7, I'm not going to go through the entire Trumas Hadeshen, but the if you read it, you notice that the Trumas Hadeshen, his Mechadesh does, he introduces us to a new din. We're accustomed to dealing with Isurei Tiltel, the Isur, the the iser to move something that's mukta on Shabbos. The Trumas Hadeshin tells us that not only is it forbidden to move something that is usr on Shabbos, there's also a prohibition of touching something that's mukta if the touching is for the sake of the davar hamukta. Okay, if you're trying, and he talks about a case where you cover something to protect it. If you're touching the mukta, that's also usr. Which means, by the way, that's not the way that we paskin la'alacha. You're allowed to touch mukta, you're just not allowed to move mukta. But that's his opinion, and the idea behind his opinion is that not only is mukta usr prohibited, it's not only forbidden to move, it's also usr to deal with the mukta. If you're touching it for the sake of the mukta, that's usr. Similarly, one can explain that the din of Rabbi Yitzchak, that a person may not move a kli in order to protect mukta, that's why you're not allowed to move a kli to cover something that's mukta, is not because the kli is not allowed to be moved unless you have a legitimate purpose, but the covering of the mukta is something that's prohibited. Because when you're moving it for the sake of the mukta, you're dealing with that mukta. And we're going to explain a few differences between these two ways of looking at Rabbi Yitzchak's din. So again, we're wondering as to whether Rabbi Yitzchak's din is a branch of the Gzeiras Kalim. Gzeiras Kalim is that you need a legitimate purpose. Nehemiah, the Navi, told us that you need a legitimate purpose to move Kalim. We don't just allow a person to move Kalim. And therefore, to move a Kli for the sake of a Dover, She'ena Nitzel B'Shabbos, is prohibited. That would be one way of looking at it. Or, the reason why you're not allowed to move a kli for a davar she'ena nitzel is because just like that davar she'ena nitzel is something that you're not allowed to move, you're also not allowed to move things for it. It's involvement with something that is mukta. One raya, a proof to the second way of looking at it, because as we mentioned, the wording of Rabbi Yitzchak seems to suggest that it is more related to the first family, the first category, meaning it's part of the Gzeiras Kalim. Because his lashon is en kli nitzel ella, you know, kli can't be moved unless you're doing it for davar nitzel b'Shabbos. But there's a very clear proof that there are those that see it as belonging to the other family, and that is if you look at number four in your source sheet, we have a Rashba. There's a Rashba in Beya that says, he asks a question. He says, Rabbi Yitzchak tells us that a person may not move a kli, may not move a vessel for the purposes of something that's not permissible to move on Shabbos. Asks the Rashba the following question. He says, "Vim Taimar, in Cain, if this is true that you can't move things, you can't move a kli for the sake of something that's mukta, how is it? Heich amru bepirkin leel koyder adam kava kabayim sa'irim v'noisin lofnei behemtai. A person is a v'shaninu ein oifsin es hagomel avo malitin oisei v'haloya behema ein ani telus." We find two instances in the Shas that a person is allowed to do actions to feed his animal. He's actually moving food for the sake of his animal. V'aloya behema ein ani telus. Asks the Rashba, how would that be permissible if the behema is a davar she'ena nitzel b'Shabbos? Rabbi Yitzchak told us that we're not allowed to move things in order to service things that are mukta on Shabbos. So then how are you allowed to move food for your animal? Okay, so the Rashba gives an answer which we're not even going to go into. What we see from the Rashba, what we see from his actual question, is of importance to us. And that is, were Rabbi Yitzchak's din to belong to the family of what we call Gzeiras Kalim, then the Rashba has no question, because food is not included in that din called Gzeiras Kalim. If you look in that Gemara that we quoted before, in Perek Kol HaKalim, where the Navi Nehemiah told people that you're not allowed to move things, that Gzeira was set only with regards to vessels. Food was never part of that Isser. The Ran states that very clearly in Perek Kol HaKalim, so that the Rashba has no question if the din of Rabbi Yitzchak is related to Gzeiras Kalim. What do you mean you're not allowed to move it for your animal? Of course you are. You're allowed to move food for whatever you want. As a matter of fact, if you want to move a piece of bread from one end of the table to the other with absolutely no intention, no purpose, no apparent reason, you're allowed to. Although we said you can't move your hat from one end of the room to the other, or your chair, you can move a piece of bread. So therefore, if Rav Yitzchak is just a furtherance of the din of Gzeiris Kalim and saying that you have to have a legitimate purpose to move your vessels, then the Rashba wouldn't be asking his question. The only reason why the Rashba obviously asks this question is because he sees the prohibition of Rav Yitzchak, Enkli Nittel, Ella Davar Nittel, as being a problem because of what you're doing with the item that you're moving. Since you're servicing something that's mukta, we don't allow you to move that item. So therefore, the Rashba has a good question. How would you be allowed to move food in order to give it to your animal to eat? So that would be a support to the second possible way of understanding of Yitzchak's din.
Okay.
Of course, one very important difference between these two ways of looking at Rabbi Yitzchak's din would be, as you probably figured out by now, would be whether Rav Shimon, who disagrees with Muktzah, he's more lenient in Muktzah, but agrees to the Gzeiris Kalim, as we mentioned before, would he agree to Rabbi Yitzchak's din? According to the first way of looking at it, that it's part of Gzeiris Kalim, Rav Shimon agrees to the Gzeiris Kalim. He also agrees that you have to have legitimate reasons to move vessels on Shabbos. And therefore, Rav Shimon would agree. However, if you look at it the other way, the way the Rashba seems to be looking at it, then it's possible that just like Rav Shimon is lenient in many dinim of muktzah, he also wouldn't have a problem with a person moving things that are mutter for the sake of muktzah, and this is something that's expressed in detail by the Baal HaMor in this sugya, which we're also not going to get into now. But understand that that's another difference between these two ways of looking at Rav Yitzchak's din. Okay, so one difference that we expressed is, would Rav Yitzchak's din cover the movement of items such as food, which are not covered by Gzeiris Kalim? Another difference is, what would Rav Shimon's position be about Rav Yitzchak's din? Now, there's one more difference that perhaps we can point to, and that's number 5 in your source sheet, is a Tosfos in Maseches Pesachim. Over there, the Gemara says that if a person finds chametz in his house on Pesach, so what he ought to do is cover the chametz with a kli, kofel of kli, in order that the chametz should remain out of sight. Tosfos asks over there, how would you be allowed to do such a thing if, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, he says, Afagav, the ikal amand yomer v'perikira, there is an opinion, meaning Rabbi Yitzchak, which is enkli nittel ella davar nittel, ikal u'ukme b'tzarech l'mkoymet. Tosfos asks, how would it be possible to take a vessel and cover chametz on Pesach with that vessel, according to Rabbi Yitzchak? Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, the author of the Kovet Shiurim, asks a very important question in Tosfos. He says he doesn't understand the Tosfos. How could Tosfos see covering the chametz as being litzoyrich davar she'ena nittel? It's true that the chametz is not something you're allowed to move, but what is the person's objective when he covers the chametz? Is his objective like in the case of the nair, where he's trying to save a shemen that is dripping, he's trying to save oil, or he's trying to protect an egg? There, I understand. You're not allowed to move a kli in order to or to save something that's muktzah. But by the chametz, his objective is himself. He's a davar hanitl. His objective is to make sure that he doesn't eat the chametz. So how could Tosfos be bothered by the principle of enkli nittel El Ledavar Nittel in the context of Koifal of Kli in Mesechtas Pesachim? That doesn't even make its way into Rabbi Yitzchak's Isser. What is the understanding of the Tosfos? I believe that Tosfos asked this question because he had a certain understanding of Rabbi Yitzchak's din. It is true, if we were to understand our first way, that the reason why Rabbi Yitzchak says you're not allowed to move a kli for a davar she'ena nittel is because the Gzeiris Kalim dictates that a kli has to have a legitimate purpose of being moved. Otherwise, it has to stay put. And you must leave a kli where it is unless you have a tzoyrich, which is something that we recognize as a legitimate purpose. And that's why Rabbi Yitzchak says that ein kli nittel, you're not allowed to move it if it's letzoyrich davar she'ena nittel. Then it's true, Rabbi Chanan's question is correct. The question is that the purpose is defined by what is it that I'm trying, that I would like to accomplish. And if I want to accomplish protecting myself from eating chametz, then this would not be governed by Rabbi Yitzchak's prohibition. However, if we were to understand that the reason why Rabbi Yitzchak said his din is because of what I'm doing with the kli. Meaning, I'm servicing muktzah, as we explained with the Trumas Hadeshim before. What you're doing with the kli, we're not looking at your objective, what it is that you're trying to accomplish, but rather, what you are doing with the kli. Over here, what you're doing is you're covering chametz. And by covering chametz, Rabbi Yitzchak sees servicing muktzah with the kli on Shabbos is usher, just like moving that very muktzah is usher. Then, it may be possible to understand what this question was. Now, this is significant also in our sugya, because if you notice, we learned about covering a candle in order that the ceiling shouldn't catch fire. It shouldn't catch on fire. Now, that also seems to pose a problem of ein kli nitel el litzarich davar hanitel b'shabbos. Now, according to the way we just explained the Tosfos, the reason why the Gemara feels that covering a candle in order that the ceiling shouldn't catch on fire would be usher according to Rabbi Yitzchak, why would that be usher? It would be usher because you're covering a candle. You're using the ka'ara, you're using the plate or the bowl as a lampshade or as a candle protector. And that would be usher because you're servicing something that's muktzah. If you'll notice Rashi on Daf Kufchof Aleph Amid Aleph, you have that on your source sheet. Rashi Kufchof Aleph Amid Aleph number 6, he says that the reason why, look at the Rashi, he says, Al Gabi Haner, Obulvad Shelo Yechabe. As long as you don't extinguish the candle, you're allowed to cover a candle so that the ceiling doesn't catch fire. He says, Va'afa pi shenot kli la'tzores koira she'ena nitelos b'shabes, ha'ispina minei l'Rab Yitzchak. He says, even though you're moving a kli for the protection of a ceiling, which is Einan Itelus B'Shabbos, the ceiling is something that you can't move on Shabbos. Well, Gemara asks that question on Rabbi Yitzchak, and it answers B'Tzarech L'Mkoyma. So you realize that, according to Rashi, it's clear that the main issue is, what is my objective? What is it I'm trying to, not what I'm servicing with the Kli, but rather, what is my objective in the moving of the Kli? If I'm looking to save the ceiling and make sure it doesn't catch on fire, then that would also be called a kli nitel l'tzarech davar she'ena nitel. Now, in light of our discussion, so we've discussed that there's two categories that we want to talk about, muktzah, and we're wondering which part, which category would Rabbi Yitzchak's din fit into. I would like to suggest that Rabbi Yitzchak's din, actually, whether Rabbi Yitzchak's din belongs to the family of Gzeiras Kalim, or it belongs to the family of regular muktzah, and the reason why you're not allowed to move it for the is because you're servicing muktzah, you're doing something to muktzah with the kli, I would like to suggest that that may be a dispute between two sugyas hashas, between the sugya in Shabbos and the sugya in Mesechtas Beitzah. And the reason why I believe that is because we find that when the Gemara introduces the din of Rabbi Yitzchak and asks its various questions on Rabbi Yitzchak, what the Gemara does, it gives the different answers in the Gemara in Shabbos and the Gemara in Beit. There are two separate answers being given to the questions that the Gemara asks. The Gemara in Shabbos, when it asks this question, Vishani Bitzarech Limkoimai. The Gemara answers that the reason why all of those instances in which it seems that a kli could be moved, l'tzarech davar she'ena nitel, the Gemara says the reason why those instances are permissible is because we're talking about a case where you're tzarech limkoimai. Rashi says that you need the makam of the kli. You need to avail yourself of the makam of the place that the kli is occupying. Umitoich sheyachal litle l'tzarech mekoimai, since you're allowed to move it to avail yourself of that place, melichai l'makam sheyirti. You can put it wherever you want. Now, in my opinion, the Gemara's answer makes a lot of sense if we relate the din of Rabbi Yitzchak to the Gzeiras Kalim. Gzeiras Kalim, as we mentioned before, a legitimate purpose of moving a kli is when you need to make the place, the space underneath the kli available for use. And therefore, once we allow you to move the kli from its place, we allow you to put it wherever you want. Because the main problem with Kli, Ein Kli Nittel, El Ledover HaNittel B'Shabbos, the main problem is that we don't see a Dover She'ein HaNittel B'Shabbos as a legitimate purpose of for moving your Kli. However, if we know in Gzeres Kalim that moving something L'Tzarech Mekoymai is seen as a legitimate purpose, then the Gemara has a very good answer. However, if the problem of Ein Kli Nittel, L'Tzarech Dover She'ein HaNittel, is like the Rashba seems to learn, which is, the Rashba in Masechta Beis seems to learn, that there is a problem with moving things even if they're not kalim. But for the sake, you're even not allowed to move food, as we explained. Because what you're doing is you're servicing Muktzah, then why do I care that when you originally picked it up, it was L'tzarech Mekoymoy? Who cares? The problem is what you do with the Kli, or the item that's Mutter to move. So that, I don't care if originally you picked it up in order to avail yourself of that place. The problem is now that you're using the Kli to service Muktzah, and that would be Usr. What's interesting is that the Gemara in Beitza, when it asks the question on Rav Yitzchak, it doesn't give this answer. Tosfos points this out in Dibra Maskel V'Shanu LeBitzarech L'Mekoymoy. What the Gemara actually does say is that the Gemara asks one of the questions. It says that you're allowed to place a Kli underneath a leaking ceiling, and the assumption is that the leaking ceiling is leaking things, water, which is not ra'oi. It's not ra'oi for shtia, and you can't even give it to your animal to drink. And therefore, you're moving a kli, a vessel for the tzorich, for the purpose of a davar she'ena nittel. And what the Gemara answers over there is not that you moved it originally l'tzorich mekaymai, but rather that that delef, that leak that's coming down, the leaking water, is delef ra'oi. Which means that it's roi for, Rashi over there says it's roi to give to your animal to drink. I believe that the Gemara didn't feel comfortable giving the answer of Tzarech Mekoymai, and it's even possible that according to Rashi that we explained, Rashi holds that the main problem of Ein Kli Nittel, such as in the case of placing a bowl on top of a candle. Rashi said that the main problem of Ein Kli Nittel would be not because you're covering the candle, but rather because you're protecting the ceiling. So the main issue would have to be, what is it that you're protecting when you're placing that Kli? Just like Rashi says over there, the main issue is that you're protecting the ceiling, which is a Davish and a Nittel. It's very possible that according to that opinion, it wouldn't help me to say that the Delef, that the leaking water, is Delef HaRo'oi. Because the main issue has to be, what am I protecting when I place the Kli there? I'm certainly not looking to catch the water so that I could drink it. It seems that the Tzorich, the objective of the individuals placing the Kli there is in order to protect this house. So the Gemara hasn't answered the question. So that the answer that is given in the Gemara in Shabbos is an answer which would only work. The Tzarech Mekoma is if we see Rav Yitzchak's din as being part of the family of Gzeres Kalim, and the answer that's given in the Gemara and Beya would only be an answer if we see Rav Yitzchak's din as being part of the family of regular Muktzah, meaning that you're moving something to service Muktzah. And since the Gemara answers that it's Delef HaRo'oi, so the thing that you're catching in the Kli is not Muktzah, therefore it doesn't bother us that you move the Kli to catch that Delef, perhaps. Now, if we're correct in this assumption, we can very easily answer Reb Kiveger's question. Reb Kiveger's question that we began our shir with was, why is it that Rashi in our Masechta seems to indicate that Reb Shimon, who doesn't hold of Muktzah, would still agree to Reb Yitzchak's din? And Rashi in Beya seems to indicate the opposite, that Reb Shimon, who disagrees with the din of Muktzah, would not agree with Reb Yitzchak's din. In light of our discussion, it's very simple. In the Sugya in Shabbos, it seems that the way that the Hagdara, the understanding of the din of Reb Yitzchak by the Balei Hashat, by the Gemara, is indeed part of the Gzeres Kalim, Reb Shimon agrees to Gzeres Kalim, as we expressed earlier. Since Reb Shimon agrees to Gzeres Kalim, it will be usher to move that Kli, and he agrees to the din of Reb Yitzchak. However, in Beya, the way that the Gemara seems to be understanding Reb Yitzchak's din is as a sniff, a branch of regular Dine Muktzah, as the Baal Amar says, since Reb Shimon is lenient in Dine Muktzah, Reb Shimon would be lenient in this din as well. That's the answer that I would like to offer.